chapter number 10, and we're going to be reading verses 3 through 5 this morning, and a very familiar place of Scripture, but some weeks back, the Lord had placed this thought upon my heart coming into this weekend. I just could not get away from this thought, and if I can be very candid with you this morning, any time that we come together into God's house, and if you will be sensitive and tender to what God is, just what's going on, how God is moving, what's being said, different things, and a sense, you can oftentimes gain a sense of the body, of what's happening. And when I say what's happening, it may not be in specifics, but there are times, if I can just further clarify, there are times where you sense that there's heaviness. There's times that you sense that maybe it's, if I can use the term, there's battle fatigue. Maybe there's times that, whether it's just physical, the physical taxing that some have been through, the emotional battles, whatever the case might be, and sometimes those things can just rest and you can sense it. Sometimes you can nearly just reach out and touch it in regards of a service. And not knowing necessarily how things would be, God knows, but this morning I sense such. I'm not saying that you're here this morning with a bad attitude. I'm not saying that you're here with a thought of let's just get this service over with. But I do believe that you can just sense that there's some heaviness that's here this morning. And heaviness in the sense, it's not, I don't say that as a negative or a bad thing, but it does represent the fact that there's burden. It represents the fact that there's some weariness. It represents the fact that maybe just you've been in the fight. And I believe the Lord wants to help us this morning. And the Word of God tells us faith comes by hearing. And hearing, what do we hear? When we hear the Word of God. And so we're going to trust His Word today. And we're going to receive it this morning. 2 Corinthians 10, if you will stand with us one more time for the reading of God's Word, if you are able to do so, we appreciate, love, honor, respect the Word of God. And we're going to take a look here. 2 Corinthians 10, starting at verse 3. If you're with me, won't you say amen? The Bible says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Let me just pause here and indicate to you, the Apostle Paul spent a lot of time directing the church to this truth. We find it here, we find it in Ephesians, we find it in Romans. There's many places in the letters that he wrote to the church. He is indicating and reminding the church that we do not war after this flesh. He says here, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty." Somebody shout mighty. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. This morning, it is not a new place or a new area where we've taken text from this at various times before. But I do believe this morning God is wanting to remind us, the church. I believe He's wanting to encourage a heavy heart today. I believe that He's wanting to remind someone in regards to what is made accessible unto us. And that in this fight, this war that is not fleshly but rather spiritual, that we have not been left alone, that we have not been left without the ability through Christ to fight in such a battle. And this morning, if I can, and if just give me a few moments and we'll get to where we're going with this thought, but I just want to preach. And maybe in the course of this week, maybe in the course of these few days, in the fatigue of soul, in the wrestling of the mind, and all of these things, maybe you've heard the adversary ask you this question. And if he's asked you this question, we're going to provide him an answer today. But I want to preach on the thought, is that all you've got? Come on here. Listen to the question. You ain't got to raise your hand and say it, but maybe in the course of this week, you've heard it whispered in your ear. Maybe it's crossed the threshold of your mind with a sinister tone. Oh, with a thought and the feel of intimidation. Is that all you've got? Well, I'm going to tell you, I just believe we ought to serve notice on the enemy this morning, because I believe we do have an answer in regards to when the question arrives, is that all you've got? Oh, yes, sir. And there's so much more that God does have. And can we just agree today that God would speak to our hearts? Would you this morning, right now, just say, Lord, touch my mind. Come on, let's pray together. Lord, touch our minds. Touch the ear. I pray, open the ears of your people. I know this morning we can sense it and feel it, the heaviness that would weigh upon hearts, the battles that are going on in the spiritual realm, families, oh, that are under duress, souls that are hanging in the balances, situations that are arising, waters that seem to overflow our heads, fiery furnaces that we stand in the midst of today. Father, I pray you'd help us. I pray your anointing. I pray, Lord, touching hearts and ears to hear and receive, my mind and lips to preach, as would bring you glory. And we do ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Now turn to your neighbor and tell him, say, you've got it. Amen. Look him square in the eye and say, you've got it. The enemy would ask the question, is that all you've got? And somebody needs to know, yeah, I've got it. Amen. I've got enough this morning. I want you to understand today, and this is just, this is not at all to glorify the enemy. But this, again, is just the understanding. You see, it is hard for the enemy to work when light is shed upon his schemes. It is hard to believe the lie of the enemy. And you say, well, hang on, because oftentimes it's easy to believe the lie. I get that. But it's harder to believe it when we will expose him by the truth of God's word, by the truth of what thus saith the Lord is. Remember when he came to Eve in the garden in the form of that serpent, where famously, or maybe I should say infamously, the statement came, hath God said? He is always pushing against the truth of God's word. He is always pressing and pushing against, wanting to challenge the things that God has declared and said. Oh, in our lives, when we look and see, understand the enemy since the very beginning, I want you to know he has worked through and by the way of the state of intimidation in wanting to get us to believe that we are lacking, or that God is unable, or that we are in such an insurmountable situation that God surely cannot, does not, will not work on our behalf. That maybe the mire and the muck that you're walking in, that you're trying to tread through, or the valley that you're down in this morning, or the circumstances that surround your family, that it's absolutely too much, that it's absolutely too difficult. Oh, that it's absolutely, I mean, you have now been deserted. You are on your own. He will whisper. He will tell you that there is not enough help for you, that there is not enough power for you, that God has bigger things to take care of instead of your situation. Through intimidation, he loves isolation. He loves to make us feel as if we are inferior. Inferior in the eyes of God. Inferior in light of the family of the family of God. Within the membership of the church, there are some that sit in silence and suffer terribly. And they think to themselves they are all alone in such a place. That they are all alone in such circumstances. circumstances. I want you to know scare tactics and tools of fear, doubt, and disbelief are the areas of specialty for the enemy. He is the orchestrator of chaos, and he is the champion of confusion. I want you to know today, he is the anti to Christ. He is everything, that would accommodate the flesh. He is everything the Bible said. He, from the very beginning, was a thief, a liar, and a murderer. I want you to understand, his resume has not changed. Why would you spend time, Brother Jacob, saying these things? Because this morning I want you to know the importance that when we are in a place of battle, when it's our family that's warring, when it's our minds warring, when it's your emotions all over the place, when spiritually you feel suffocated and don't know what to do, he will lift his ugly head and make you think you're not able and that God don't care. But this morning I want to shine the light of truth and remind you who he is. Do you know his future's already been predicted? Do you know he's already defeated? Do you know today that all things and all enemies are already under the feet of Christ, our King? Somebody shout amen. Oh, is that all you got? These weapons have been used from the very beginning. It is a ploy for us to be overwhelmed and to second guess. Isn't it something? I want you to ask you this question. This is just rhetorically speaking. Isn't it absolutely ridiculous that we, believers, children of God, we get to the point where we second guess God? Doesn't that sound ridiculous when we say it out loud? That God, who has created all things, that God who reigns supreme, that God, we know in our hearts of his power. We know, Sister Veazey, of what he's able to do. And yet, we stand oftentimes staring at the scenarios, looking at the obstacles. And can I say this? There are some things that have never even come to fruition, but yet is it as a thought and it is a worry and it is imagination that has lifted itself against, notice what the scripture said, against the knowledge of God. What does that mean? You see, as children of the King, we should know who our Father is. We should know what he can do. We should know exactly what his promises are. And the enemy's always, there's a fight in the mind to produce things that would try to work against the very knowledge of God, and oftentimes it leads to the crippling of faith of the church, of those that are in the trenches, of those that are up against various circumstances, even here today. Is that all that you've got? Is that all it is? I remember if there was one thing that was a highlight, if you will, it throughout childhood, and Aaron Ray was a part of this, that any time us cousins got together, now I had the advantage of being the first grandchild. And so as others came along, especially when they were younger, I was bigger, I was stronger, I was faster. But it did not stop the younger cousins, Aaron and Chris and Kyle, and even Cassie would get involved in it sometimes. But we would turn my grand's living room into a wrestling ring. I mean, we had some epic wrestling matches. Amen. And we'd get there, and being the biggest and strongest, of course, we would be there. I'd be strong-arming them boys, and I would pin them down, and Aaron might remember some of this, but if I could get them down on their back and I'd put their arms under my knees, and then I'd get that knuckle and I'd begin to pound on their chest right there. Oh, and them boys would squirm and holler and all that kind of stuff, and boy, they'd get riled up, And it was fun in the sense, Brother Eddie, that I could get them going, because no matter how mad they got, no matter how much they thought that if they could just get mad enough or whatever the case might be, that surely they could overcome me. But there was times, Brother Chad, that in my aggravation, you know, saying things like, is that all you've got? Is that as strong as you are? Is that all that you can do? Amen. Now, if they wanted to, they could tag team against me and give me a good whipping if they wanted to. But I used my size. I used my strength against them in such a way to get them riled up. I want you to understand this morning that with the question being asked, while the enemy is stirring, while the enemy is fighting against him in ourselves, we are unable. Against him in ourselves, we are not capable. Against him in ourselves, that's why the Word of God said this: the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. Number one, they are not just tangible weapons. But number two, Paul was speaking to the fact that what's going to be accomplished in this fight is not going to happen in our carnality. It will not happen in our flesh. It will not happen in our strength. Your wisdom, your church membership, your title, your money, your marriage, your family, your position, your things, the list goes on and on and on. In our flesh, we cannot and are not able. We're just not. But through Christ, notice what it said, but these weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. It is through God, those strongholds, those fortified places the enemy wants to set up. Did you know the enemy wants to set up a fortified place, a fortress in your mind, in your heart? He wants to blockade your worship. He wants to back you down into a corner to where there's absolutely nothing being accomplished. He wants you so full of doubt that you even find it difficult to pray. But I want you to understand, when he asks, is that all you've got? I want to just mention a few things here real quickly. Because you see, is even in our exercise of these weapons, the enemy is constantly trying to break us down to the point. And so, and when he asks, is that all you've got? And when all you've got is a prayer, come on here, somebody shout prayer. Oh, prayer is one of those weapons of warfare. Prayer is the lifeline. Prayer is strength. Prayer is that which bends the very ear of heaven. Oh, can I tell you, the enemy loves for you to be down in a place that even when you get ready to pray, that you'd say, what's the use? I don't feel like praying. The atmosphere's not right. The environment's not right. There's too much on my mind. There's too much this. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to do. We find ourselves in everything I just said. Everybody in this building, you can identify in those times. But can I just tell you this morning that if all you've got is a prayer, then brother, sister, you've got more than enough. If all you've got is breath in your body to call on the name of Jesus, to summon heaven's throne, to boldly go before the throne of God, brother, sister, then you've got the thing that can move mountains. You've got the thing that'll cast down imaginations. You've got a hold of the thing that can open red seas and stop the mouths of lions. There is power in prayer. And if prayer is all you've got, then prayer is more than enough. Come on here. If prayer is all you've got, prayer is more than enough. Let me just say this. If prayer wasn't so powerful, then why, Brother Jerry, would the enemy fight so hard to keep us from it? Come on here. This is not because, Brother Dax, it checks a box on the spiritual checklist. I understand that's probably why some folks pray. They pray out of religious obligation. They pray out of ceremony. They pray out of format. They pray with formula. The Word of God said this. Jesus said, listen, I want your prayers to be in such a way. He said, these Pharisees and these Sadducees, they stand on the street corners and they've got all kinds of words. They want to be known for how they pray, how long they pray, the words that they pray. And this is, he said, they've got their reward. What was that meaning, Brother Chris? They wanted to be seen. So therefore, they got their reward. They were seen. And this is the situation. Sister Karen, they were seen, but they were not heard. They were seen, but they were not heard. Oh, I've met some folks, boy, I mean, they know how to pray. They know how to go through the showbiz. They know how to do this. You say, well, Brother Jake, sounds like you're being judgmental. No. Listen, what I'm saying is there's some folks, there's a whole lot of cloud, but there's no rain in that cloud. Come on here. And you know what Jesus said? He said, when you pray, somebody shout, when I pray. He said, when you pray, he said, don't be like them. He said, but get yourself in that prayer closet. Get yourself in a place, amen, to where it's you and God. Get yourself down in a place where it's you're getting down to business with you and the Father, where it's a place, because he said, sometimes you won't have the words to say. Sometimes, Brother Marvin, only tears fall. Sometimes it's groanings and utterings that I can't understand, but the Spirit of God is speaking. Sometimes, Sister Karen, my prayer is shutting myself up somewhere, and all I can do is holler. Is that praying? You better believe it is. Can I just say this? You ain't ever lived until you've had to get a place where maybe you put a pillow over your head and just screamed to the top of your lungs, buried your face in the carpet and tears and snot and holler. Why? Because you were frustrated, because you were fighting, because you were in the battle. I want to tell someone, prayer is enough. Prayer is able. Prayer will break you through it. Prayer will open the windows of heaven. Prayer, if that's all you've got, it's more than enough. He said, your Father that sees you in secret, he said, your reward will come openly. He said that sea will part, the way will be made, the provision will come. People will be able to see and recognize of the fact that God has faithfully answered your prayer. You see, I don't want it to be where I am seen, but I want heaven to hear. I want heaven to hear. Is that all you've got? Is that all you've got as a prayer? Sometimes, Brother Devin, our prayers are not sophisticated. Our prayers are not, I'm just going to tell you, I've told you many times, I'm just a hillbilly from southern Missouri. My prayers do not sound sophisticated. I don't have all the adjectives and adverbs, the prepositions, the subjects, pronouns and nouns to get it all together, Sister Gold. I'm not able to do it. I can in myself. I am unable to articulate all of what he's worthy of, all of what I could ever, what my soul could really pour out. But sometimes, as I said, it's tears. Sometimes it's frustration. Sometimes it's just laying before him and a word not ever said. Oh, but this morning we have evidence that the simplest of prayers is enough. Matthew 14, 30 and 31. But when he saw, speaking of Peter, the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. Can I pause right there? And can I just say, those three phrases can describe us in our situations very well. Things are boisterous. Storm clouds, wind, waves, everything's chaotic. Have you been there? Have you lived there? You might as well help me preach this morning. I'm not going to hurry through this. Have you been in that place? He said all these things. The wind was boisterous. Listen to the second thing. Here's the second situation of Peter's state of mind. He was afraid. Oh, I know we're not supposed to admit it in the church. I know that he has not given us the spirit of fear. But sometimes, even though God is not the author of that, I find myself there. Sometimes, Sister Jerry, I'm afraid. Sometimes it is self-inflicted because I allow my mind to go. But there are some situations I look at and I get fearful as to how is this going to work out. He was afraid and beginning to sink. Anybody besides the pastor ever been in a place where you're standing in one place, but all of a sudden the rug's pulled out from under you and it feels like the quicksand of life? Sometimes it's a phone call. Sometimes it's an action. Sometimes it's a situation that presents itself. There's times when you feel like you're sinking. You feel like you're trying to regain control. Oh, the Bible said the wind was boisterous. He was afraid. And he began to sink. But the Bible dictates what I believe is one of the most powerful prayers that can be prayed. Oh, the Word of God said, as he was beginning to sink, Peter cried, saying, "Lord, save me." It's all right. It's all right. You missed a good place to shout. Let me say it again. "Lord, save me." When that's all that you've got, I want to tell somebody that's all that you need is when you put Christ in the equation, when you begin to call his name, "Lord, save me." I'll tell you some of the most powerful prayers I've ever prayed and that touched heaven were in moments of my desperation, moments of my delirium, moments when I didn't know how it was going to be. It wasn't sophisticated. It wasn't surreal. It was not admired by everybody else, but it was a place and a cry from a desperate heart. "Lord, save me." Can I tell you today that is a prayer that Christ will always hear? The Bible says, "And immediately." And immediately, notice the enemy, he will want to intimidate you to say, "Is that prayer all that you've got? You think God's going to respond to that? You think heaven has time for that?" But Sister Mary, the Bible says here, that's all Peter could get out. It was all that was needed. It was enough. And the Bible, Sister Alethea, the Bible says that Christ immediately stretched out his hand and saved him. Pulled him back up. If all you've got is a prayer, that prayer is enough. If all you've got is a "Lord, save me," that is enough. The second thing I want to make mention of, if all you have is a praise, your praise is enough. Amen. Come on, somebody. If all you've got is a praise, your praise is enough. Acts 16:25-26. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas," listen, "they had prayed." No money, no bail, nobody showed up. No legal counsel. They've been beaten. They are in shackles and chains, and they are in the innermost prison. And as far as they know, all they know is it could be on the morrow they're going to lose their life. It looked like the end of the road, Brother Drew. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. you can't tell me that these men of God hadn't been in a place where the enemy was breathing down their neck to say, is that all you've got? Look at you now. Look at what serving God got you. Look at what preaching the gospel got you. Look at what the reward of your, this is the reward of your investment, of your time. Here you are. You've been beaten. They couldn't even lay their backs against the wall because it was ripped open by the stripes they just received. Couldn't even stand for their shirt to press against the open wound, laying there in that prison, not knowing about what it is. But yet, Brother Gary, Paul looking at Silas and Silas looking at Paul, saying, if all we've got is a prayer, we're going to pray. And then one of them said, if all we've got is a praise, then we're going to praise. I don't know what song they sung. I don't know if it was from the Redback hymnal. I don't know if it was something they wrote on themselves. I don't know if it was a Psalm of David, but what I do know is as they began to praise, the Bible said an earthquake began to shake that prison in such a way that the chains fell off and the stocks fell off and the prison door swung open and every prisoner had been set free in that moment. Doors open, but no escape. The jailer said, oh, I'm done for. Everybody's out of here. He was ready to kill himself. Paul said, stop. He said, we're all still here. And not only was they there, Sister Kayla, but before that night was over, the Bible said the jailer and all of his house had come to know Jesus Christ. I want to tell somebody, I know this is not anything new, this is not new material, this is not a new revelation, but I want to tell somebody, if all you've got is a praise, then my goodness, brother, sister, open your mouth. Let it come out of your heart. Let it come out of your mind. Let somebody walking down your street think that you belong in the crazy house, that they look through the windows and your hands are lifted. If you look, oh, come on, somebody. I was at a stoplight not too long ago, and there was a sister on the right-hand side of me. And I say a sister because I believe she was a believer. And she, you could hear the music coming through my rolled-up windows and through her rolled-up windows. And she wasn't listening to country and western. She wasn't listening to rock and roll. But, I mean, she had on some praise music. And that sister was sitting at her steering wheel, and her head was back, and her head was lifted. And I could only smile and say, come on, sis. Come on and give him praise. Come on and give him glory. Go right ahead. If praise is all you've got, praise is enough. Can Pastor help somebody out this morning? Thank you. Okay, here we go. Here we go. If you're battling your mind, if you find yourself overwhelmed, if depression and discouragement, because it's like a cloud, isn't it? Right? Don't act so spiritual like you've never battled it. It's like a cloud. It'll sit over you. And it'll try to suffocate you. Wants to set the tone for your day. Wants to set the tone. It'll show up on a Saturday night so you come into church feeling that way on a Sunday morning. It'll set on you early on a Sunday morning. Some of you done had many conversations in your head or with your spouse whether or not you was even going to be here today. And I'm not saying that because I've got the inside track. I'm just telling you, I know it's true. Because every one of us from pulpit to the back row, we battle it. I don't feel good. My head's not right. I need a day off. I need to be at home. I just need to rest. And you know what? You probably do need some of those things. But I'm going to just tell you something. One of the things that would help you, instead of opening up that stupid phone first thing in the morning. I done touched somebody's idol. Somebody's golden calf. My phone ain't stupid. It's a smartphone. It's stupid. It's stupid. You know why? Because we engross ourselves with stupid information from that stupid phone that's giving us a feed from stupid news. The kids are in kids' church, so parents don't get nervous. I can't believe he's saying stupid so many times. Just what it is. You may not say it at your house. We don't practice it at our house, but some things are stupid. And sometimes, listen, those things coming over you, and the first thing you want to do is stare at Facebook. First thing you want to do is look at Instagram. The first thing you want to do, and if it's not that phone, you turn on that TV, and the first thing you want to do is listen to the news. Well, Brother Jake, that kind of hurts my feelings. Well, in this instance, I'm glad that it does. You know why? Because I want you to stop. You know why? Because I'm wanting you to change. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The text here speaking about the mind, the things that we can pull down, these things. Listen, before you turn that stuff on, I'll tell you what you can smartly use your phone for. Or if you've got an Alexa, or if you've got an old-fashioned radio. I don't know if folks ever have those anymore in their house. Amen. When I was a kid, my grandpa had a record player that was the size of one of these church pews in the middle of the hallway. Amen. I mean, that joker was big. And then we graduated to other stereos and CD players. But now everything that's on that phone, I'm going to tell you something. And this isn't to brag. This is just how it is. At the Smith House on a Sunday morning, if you were to come in to be a fly on the wall, one of the first things that comes on, Brother Todd, one of the first things you'll hear in the house, it is not the TV. It is not, hey, did you see this on social? What we have, Sister Carolyn turns that phone on, and she's got a Bluetooth speaker right there on the countertop in the bathroom, and that joker's turned up full blast. And whether it's Brooklyn Tab, whether it's the Crab Family, whether it's the Hensons, whether it's a choir, whoever it is, praise music is a blasting throughout that house. I want to tell you, there's days you get up and you don't feel good. Days you get up and don't feel right. But if a praise is all you got, let that praise set the tone. Let it set the atmosphere. Get your attention. Get your attention on heaven. Get your attention on Him. Did you know when you do that and you come in here? Sister Kara, it's hard to have been praising at home and come in here and act like a bump on a log. Because when it's already been in the atmosphere, when it's already, Sister Chambly, Sister Debbie, when it's already been in the atmosphere, did you know? I want to challenge the church. You get up Sunday morning, don't turn on that other mess. Turn on some praise. You might be surprised what happens in this church. You know why? Because then the worship leaders ain't got to be, come on, clap harder. Come on, sing louder. Come on, what's a song? Because you already come in. We are called up too many times in such a state that we're caught setting. We are caught looking. We are caught observing. But praise means I'm going to say something. Praise means I'm going to do something. Praise is an a condition of the heart. And I want to tell somebody, if you want to wage war, if you want to overcome the devil, and he says, is all you got to praise? Yes, sir. You better buckle up and hang on, devil, because praise changes things. Praise. Prayer and praise. Here's the last thing that I want to mention. When all you've got is a prayer, that's enough. When all you've got is praise, that's enough. And we pray and we praise in relation to the fact that we're holding on, that sometimes all we've got is a promise.
a promise. Maybe this morning it's just one. The Bible's full of many. The Bible is chock full of not just hundreds, but thousands of promises that belong only to the preacher. No. Belongs only to the one who served God 60 years. His promises are available for all of his children. Some of you are in such a heavy state, in a place of discouragement, because the enemy has put his finger in the realm of the promises that God has spoken to you. He wants to silence your prayer. He wants to silence your praise. And then he wants you to doubt the promises of God. He wants to wear you down. The Word of God says that the enemy in these last days, and boy, have we seen it to be true, he wants to wear out the saints. There are some folks that have given up and quit, not because they fell into gross immoral sin, not because they did something wrong in a place of church ministry, not because another church closes its door, another minister leaves the ministry, and another voice silenced. It's not because of some of these things that we just think, well, surely this person, they must have had a troubled marriage, they must have had an affair, they must have not been handling God's money right, they must have done this or done that. I'm going to tell you, if you could sit and interview some of these people, one of the first things they'd tell you, Sister Turnage, they say, I am wore down. And I reached a point that I didn't think that I could do it anymore. Wore down. 1,500 used to be the number of ministers that leave churches. And I'm not talking about transitioning to pastor another church. I'm talking about they leave the ministry in a month. 1,500. Most recent statistic now say it's 1,750. Which went up by 250. And it's not just the preachers. It's folks sitting on the pews. It's folks volunteering in ministry. It's folks serving in different capacities. That somewhere along the line, they quit believing in the promise of God. The enemy made them believe it was too far away or that it would never happen at all. There are some that are under the sound of my voice this morning, and you're standing in valleys of decision. You're in places where there are things of what once was secure is not secure. And please hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying this morning. If you're not there, there are some of you, you're going to be stepping into some places that certain things are going to seem very unstable. There are certain things you've been praying for, and instead of seeing an answer, it feels like it's going further and further away. You've got children that are lost. You've got marriages you're praying for. You've got situations you're praying about, all of these things. And while you're in the midst of that battle, because you're fighting this war through prayer, you're fighting this war through praise, in the midst of those things, the enemy says, if I, in their mind, can get the distance between their promise and where they're at right now, if I can create such a distance, listen, it does not mean that that distance is real, but if he can get you to feel like it is, if he can get you to believe it is, if he can get you, have you ever been in one of those places? And there was in St. Louis, there was a place called the St. Louis Science Center. And they had a room, and it was optical illusions. And they had things that make you could stand in one corner of the room and somebody else stand in another corner, and it'd make that other person look like they're about 3 foot tall because of the way the angle and the shape of the room. Or they would do things that would invert your eye and it would make your eyesight, and it would tell your brain that something was upside down even though it was right side up. There was all this stuff in your mind and in your in your fleshly vision, the enemy is a master of illusions. He's a deceiver. He's cunning. And he will make things look away. And he will make things, this is a big one, feel away. Sometimes with kids, you play those games. You take a box and you put something in there and they can't see what's on the inside. And they got to reach their hand in and they touch it. They don't know if it's some kind of bug. They don't know if whatever it is. But you get something that's got the right texture, feels gross. I mean, you'll get, they don't want to touch it, don't want to feel it. And what happens is many in the church, not only are we seeing things through the lens of how the enemy is portraying it, but we are also going by our feeling as to how this is going, how this is going to be. We find in the Word of God, I've been doing personal Bible study, and Danny and Carolyn, if you'll come, I've been doing my personal devotions. I've been reading in the book of Genesis, and I've been in the chapter with Abraham and Sarah. And what it was amazing to me, as you read the story in the chapter where God tells Abraham, I am going to give you the son of promise. This son will come from you and your wife. A servant's not going to inherit these things, your son will. I am going to make you a father of many nations. The very next chapter. And I know there's a lot of time. This ain't like it's Monday and Tuesday. Let me just assure you, that's not how the Bible works in time frame. But it still astounded me. The very next occasion, the very next situation, is Abraham goes from hearing about God's promise to his wife being discouraged. And she said, this is not going to happen. I think we ought to do this instead. Discouragement. Seeing things the wrong way and feeling things the wrong way will create a lot more problem for you. Somebody needs to hear what I'm saying this morning. It's going to cause problem for you. It's going to affect your family. It's going to tear you apart. It'll wreak havoc on you spiritually. You'd better be careful. Instead of what you think you see and what you think you feel, you had better know. And what happens is, if all you have is a promise, Brother Segura, to hold on to, and God has given you that promise, if I gave you the promise, if today your spiritual mindset, if today what you were able to accomplish by way of the Spirit hinged upon what Jacob could do for you, I would be the first, Brother Chris. I do my best. I want to be a man of integrity. I want to be a man of my word. I want. If I make a promise, I want to fulfill that promise to the very best of my ability. But I will tell you this, I am a human, and some promises I have not been able to keep. There's been times I've disappointed people. There's been times I haven't been able to do it, to get it done. And if it hinged on me, I'd be the first to tell you, you are in trouble. But Brother Dax, if it's the fact that God said it, if it's the fact, Sister Karen, that His Word said it, if it's the fact, Sister Karen, that this is what He spoke to me in prayer, this is what He said to me as I praise, that no matter how hard it gets, no matter how long the wait, no matter how many obstacles are there, what I love in Hebrews 11, the Bible tells us there were those, they staggered not at the promises of God. In other words, if they said it, they knew that He would do it. They knew that He would accomplish it. They knew that He was God, and beside Him there is no other. I want to remind somebody, if all you're hanging on to is a promise, that promise is more than enough. Keep hanging on to it. Keep holding fast to it. Keep believing Him. If all you've got is a prayer, if all you've got is a praise, If all you've got is a promise, then brother, sister, you've got more than enough. The enemy trying to challenge somebody, say, is that all you got? I pray today that when you leave this house, you can smile. Lift your head, not because your problems are solved, but because you can look at the enemy and say, that's all I've got, and it is enough. I want somebody encouraged today. I want somebody believing his word today. I want somebody knowing your prayer's enough. I want somebody knowing your praise is enough. I want somebody saying, if this promise I've been holding on, Brother Jake, the time, the distance, the process, it's been tough, I don't know, but it is his promise. Trust him. Hold on to him. With heads bowed, this morning, eyes closed all over this place. Jesus, I thank you today. I thank you for your word. And I'm glad, Lord, that you are not slack concerning your promises. But rather, your promises are yes and amen. Your word is true. You are not a man that you would lie. You are not a man that you would fail. I pray today you'd help us that we would hold fast the professions of our faith without wavering. I pray today there'd be a people that are steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I know today there's folks troubled. I know today there's hearts heavy. I know today there's situations you're up against and you don't know. You can't see. You can't figure it out. The enemy is telling you. He's challenging you, mocking you. Is that all you've got? But this morning, if that is all you've got more than enough. Weapons that are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, through Christ, to the pulling down of every stronghold. Every thought, every imagination, everything that would try to interject, interfere with the very knowledge of God. Lord, I pray today, as your word declared, that through obedience, that we bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Lord, as these thoughts, these feelings, they yield themselves to your word and to your truth. This morning, church, I don't know every detail, and I don't have to know. I don't know every place of pain in your heart. I don't understand every question of your mind. But I do know if these are the things that all you've got, then, brother, sister, you've got enough. And I'm simply going to ask today those that by faith would say, I'm responding because I know the Lord's reminding me. He's helping me to remember that these things, they are enough. The Lord will fulfill his promise. The Lord hears my praise and my prayer. These things do change the circumstances around me. I can trust God with it. If that's us today, why don't we come? Come on, step out from where you are. Let's find ourselves a place in this altar this morning. Somebody this morning, oh, hear me, somebody who's willing to believe God. Somebody today who'd say, I'm willing. I know I've been in war. I know it's been heavy. I know I've been discouraged. I know there's different things going on. But today I'm trusting you, Jesus. Today, Lord, I'm reaching out to you. Today I've got a prayer. If that's all you can muster, that's enough, brother. Today I've got a praise. If that's all you've got on your lips, that's enough, sister. Oh, today I'm going to hold to his promise. Today I know what he said. Today I know what he's declared. Today I know what his word has said. Today I know God's not a liar. Oh, then that's what I'm going to hold to. That's what I'm holding fast. Oh,
oh, but there is a secret.